Are you ready for a word tonight?
Yeah.
I want to start a teaching tonight that I've been talking about doing for a while. I've taught it years past, and I thought where we're at is a good time to teach it again. And turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. And it says in 1 Thessalonians, go to chapter 5, verse 12. Paul writes, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." He says, know them which are over you in the Lord, even those that you're among. But what I want to talk about in this series we're going through tonight is it doesn't matter where you go to church. You know, the enemy's been very good at counterfeiting Christianity. And he's told people, just go to the most convenient church. Go to the one that maybe you think is the prettiest or sounds the most philosophical or intellectual. Go where you feel good. Go to what appeals to your soul, to your flesh. And so he set the churches all over the place with no power. Paul warned about it. He said there's going to rise up churches with a show of godliness, but no power. Right? Denying the power of their love. We had last week Asbury Seminary. Did you guys see this article, this news article? Asbury Seminary has been kicked out of the United Methodist Organization.
Wow. Why?
For not changing the traditional role of marriage.
Oh my.
Asbury Seminary refused to believe in homosexual marriage. And so they said, well, you can't be on the ministry anymore because we're evolving with the culture. So they've been kicked out. I'm proud of Asbury for holding to their standard. And so the enemy has learned to counterfeit the things of God. Even sometimes moves of God. One of the most powerful things you can do to destroy a nation is counterfeit their currency. In wartime, it's been very common for the enemy to counterfeit another nation's currency and flood their market with it, watering down the value of all their ability to purchase anything. And the enemy knows if he can counterfeit Christianity, then people won't know where to go. See, if 80% of your money is counterfeit, if 80% of your money is counterfeit, you won't trust that what you're getting is good. If you're trying to do a cash transaction, how do I know this is good? If it's a really good counterfeit. So they don't trust their purchasing power. And the enemy is so counterfeit that the church people don't know what to trust. Don't know where to go. Now I'm going to go through a set of different counterfeit churches the enemy has sown. Not that people can't be saved in it. Not that people can't be touched by God in it. But that they're not positioned to go into the fullness of what God's making available. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I believe it's worthwhile to find out where God's moving, where the word's really being taught, and go with that. And not settle for form and formality and tradition.
Amen.
I've talked to so many people in different denominations. Well, I go there because the buildings are so beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, God was probably moving there 500 years ago.
Right.
But he's not there right now. And the first area I want to talk about, some of these cross over. There's parallels. The first one I want to mention is what I call the, can you read that at all?
Yeah.
Too far. Yeah. Hellfire Condemnation Church doctrine. And I've been in those. There's a few denominations that are famous for it. That the goal is to scare people into heaven. You follow me? That if we can scare people enough, they'll give their life to God because they want fire insurance. And understand, hell is real. It's worth avoiding. I mean, whether you want to serve God or not, it's worth serving God just to escape hell. Amen. So it's a genuine truth, but it's taught every week. Did you sin this week? Did you make a mistake? Did you say a bad word? Did you have a bad thought? You better run to the altars because hell's awaiting. And if they get a really strong altar call, they feel God has moved. But the truth is, you just manipulated people to come to the altars through fear. God is removed primarily through the church manifesting fear.
Right.
Do you follow me?
Yes.
And if you scare people into salvation, guess what? You got to keep them afraid. Yes. To keep them in the church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And does everybody know what I'm talking about? Have you been in these churches?
Yes, I went there.
And they, I had to. They master it. Talking about the different levels of hell and how hot it is. And, you know, there's no water. Not even a drop of water. And, there's no escape. It's forever. And that's all true. But you know what? For the saint, that's not what's in store for us. Look at Romans chapter 2. And of course, they center on Romans 3:23. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Well, yeah, but the more you experience elevates you above sin, at least the sin nature, and now you're a child of God. Are you in Romans chapter 2? Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? God's good, he's loving.
Yes.
And forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God's goodness will move in your life to get you toward repentance. But the most powerful form of getting people to repent is letting them know he's the deliverer. He's the anointer. He's the one that wants the best in your life. See, the condemnation churches specialize in proclaiming a harsh God full of fury and anger. And that he can't tolerate one bit of sin in anybody's life. One mistake. When God paid everything he could to deliver us from that condemnation. Amen. We're still going to make mistakes. But because of this influence, I wasn't raised in church, but I experienced this quite soon after I got saved. Is that you walked in continual condemnation because of the mistakes you've made in the past. Or that day on the way to church. And you're always afraid you were falling short of the glory and God was about to throw you into hell.
Yes.
And even once I got into revival, even once I got into charismania, it carried over with that image of God. He was ready to kick me out of the kingdom at any time because I just wasn't good enough. Well, the truth is you aren't good enough. Through the cross and through the blood of Christ, God made you good enough.
I made a way,
and now you're his child, adopted child. Not just adopted. Given the same, how can I say, DNA as God. Filled with the love of God, the Spirit of God within you. And now, our goal shouldn't be to teach hell to saints. It should be to teach the kingdom to saints. How we can move into God's best.
Yeah.
And I believe one of the most powerful ways you minister Jesus is through divine healing and giftings, through words of knowledge of God's blessings and benefit, of the prophetic, of trying to think of the other thing I want to say, God's benefit in your life, and especially of his divine love. fact, I discovered years ago that God's evangelistic anointing is supernatural agape love. If you carry it, the atmosphere you carry of love will draw people to the kingdom. Can't be resisted. Well, it can be, but only by religion. And so, I believe this to be a counterfeit that's kept millions and millions of people locked up in churches. How about I? That are locked in by fear. Well, if you leave this church, you can't go anywhere else. This is the only church. Like, oh, we're preaching a good God. You're telling you God's God of love, a good God. Shh, don't fall for that. You got to stay in fear to make sure you don't make a single mistake. And what does it do? It brings people into works.
Yeah.
Trying to be good enough versus loving the Holy Spirit in this love relationship. Did you follow me on that? Romans 8:15 says, we've not received the spirit of fear. So guess what? If you're born again, you're going after God. You really do love God, at least you want to. You want to serve God. The Holy Spirit's in you. When you go to these condemnation churches, that fear you feel is not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's probably a demonic spirit of fear who's been invited in.
Wow.
Because it brings forth the altar calls that the preacher wants. We can just scare people to the altars. God's moved. No, the devil's probably moved. And he's creating this system, fear-based system of repentance and fear and condemnation and repentance and this cycle to keep people locked into something not producing any anointing. Because as long as you're walking in fear and condemnation, you won't produce anything by faith. Amen.
Amen.
Are you ready for the next one? You can be turning to Galatians chapter 3. We'll get the exact wording again. I'll write a little bit bigger. Read that.
You don't have a black.
Switch to black. Okay, next time. The second one is the legalistic church. That's rules based. They're focused primarily on using your willpower to walk free of sin. And the church has this whole set of rules, whether written or not. A lot of them are written. If not, they're known or spoken or discussed. In other words, you better not be wearing jewelry.
Right.
Right.
Better not have any makeup.
Amen.
Don't paint your nails, or especially your toes.
Right.
Your hair better have you in bondage.
Yep.
But shut so tight you can't smile anyway. Can't blink. It's legalistic.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that kind of holiness type church, because I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. In fact, I did get ahead of myself. It's based on trying to be a good enough person versus learn to have a relationship with God and flow with the Holy Spirit. So some of the rules are, can't drink. Now, I don't believe in drinking alcohol. Do you follow me? But I don't think it's going to send you to hell. I think it just keeps you out of the performance of God's plan. Amen. I have whole messages on alcohol. The alcohol we have today is not even as close to the same as what we had. This is what they had 2,000 years ago. They had no Jack Daniels 2,000 years ago. Can't smoke. You smoke, you're going to hell. My grandfather was kicked out of his religious organization for smoking. He couldn't quit. They kicked him out. And listen, I don't believe a Christian should be smoking. It may not send you to hell, but it'll get you to heaven earlier. And you smell like hell on the way. You follow me?
Yeah.
And there's some people in here that smoke or have smoked in the past.
I was.
And maybe still smoking. There's no condemnation for me. I just believe God has better for me. Amen. Well, these churches, that becomes a deal breaker with God.
Sure, yeah.
Better not have a cuss word ever come out of your mouth. And of course, I've done whole messages on cuss words versus curse words. Mm-hmm. We made a whole doctrine out of certain words you can't say. When the Bible doesn't talk about that. It talks about curse words. We got people who never cuss cursing people all the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just talking, not to interrupt you, but I didn't get that, I wasn't here for that message, but I was just talking to somebody about that yesterday, which is wild, because I was talking about the difference between cussing and cursing, and I'm like, where does it, not saying I want to do all those things, but I'm like, where is that in the Bible?
Well, they convert scriptures to say, don't let any unholy thing come out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. Well, they convert that to certain cuss words. Mm-hmm. You follow me? And a lot of cuss words, I'm not going to say because they're not recognized as being, you know, Christian-like.
Right.
But they're not condemned in the Bible, per se. Mm-hmm. You follow me? And
Different countries
have different words. I saw an article today. Have anybody seen the videos of the people from Europe and Asia coming to America for the World Cup and how they've been lied to about America?
Yes.
They came in thinking America was just a horrible place, and they're realizing this is an amazing place. This is no doubt this is the greatest nation on earth.
Huh.
And stuff that they're just amazed with that we take for granted, like free refills at the restaurant. It's not going to cost me another $8 to get a refill. No, how many? They're like amazed. 8 flavors of ranch dressing at the supermarket. And I think the number one thing people love is barbecue.
Yeah.
Brisket. And I've seen some guy today from England had biscuits and gravy. He says, it looks terrible. He tastes it. He says, my God, this is like ambrosia in heaven. The food, the friendliness of the people. The amazing are stadiums, the flyovers. They're like, we didn't know this existed. We don't see this on CNN,
right,
which is broadcast worldwide.
Right.
So sad. And so, in England, there's words they say, or don't say, like bloody.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's like the F word over here.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's like different countries have words that God didn't like. He doesn't like that word in England, but God's okay with the word in America.
Yeah.
An actual curse word is when you hear somebody's prayer and you say, well, they're probably going to die anyway.
Uh-huh.
You just use your power of your words to speak death over them.
Exactly.
They're such a loser.
My goodness.
Curse word.
That's right.
Nothing ever goes right for me. You just cursed yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Curse words. And I believe that's what the kingdom of heaven can't align with. But a cuss word, churches, you know, you said that word, I want to go out of here. And of course, some of you have been through a divorce, you know, if whatever it might be. And it's full of church rules and regulations that you have to align to. The length of your hair can't be. How many people way back in the 70s couldn't go to certain churches because of the length of their hair? Wayne talks about he had an encounter with God back in the 70s. Hardcore biker, tattoos, long hair. And hardcore. You don't know Wayne's history. I don't know it all. He was a bad dude. And he has an encounter with God. Goes to his nearest church. I don't know if he'd been there more than once or a few times or whatever. I think he'd been there a few times. And finally, God had moved on him in that service. They had a testimony time. I don't remember was that how it happened, but this is generally it. Wayne gets up and says, I believe God's called me to ministry. I believe he's called me to ministry. The preacher gets up and says, what makes you, with that long hair and those tattoos, think God would ever use you in any way?
Yeah.
Wayne went away defeated. I didn't send him back for a long time because of the rules. the length of hair, whatever.
Jesse the Plantist.
So way back in the 70s when that Jesus movement was taking place, most churches shut them out.
Yeah, they did.
That was so powerful about Greg Laurie and what was his other name? Anyway, the ones that embraced them. And a whole move of God came out of it. So God's not into rules. He's into relationship. And if there's something wrong in your life, give God a chance to speak to somebody. Versus you beat him up for what you think is God's standard.
Right.
The chances are you're breaking it yourself in ways you don't even know. Mm-hmm. Amen. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had evidently been set forth crucified among you. Who's bewitched you? It's only what I learned of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Now what was going on in the Galatian church? The Gentiles, the non-Jews, were getting saved by faith. And then Jewish instructors were coming in. I believe they were saved. At least they thought they were. Telling the Gentiles, it's not enough just to receive Jesus. You've got to be circumcised as well. There's rules of the law you still have to fulfill if you're going to heaven. Yes. Paul got up and said, are you that stupid? Didi, you're stupid. Are you so stupid? I don't do it like Petty does it. Go ahead, Petty. Anyway. One of our daughters loved that show when we were Dexter's Laboratory. They were told you had to follow this law. And they got saved by faith. The people that built these churches got saved by faith. They recognized it. Yes, we're saved by faith. But now here's how you have to keep your salvation, earn your salvation, be qualified to make it to heaven. And Paul called it stupid. Called it foolish. Again, there are standards God has He wants to call us into. When you get saved, God's going to call you to get stuff out of your life. Mm-hmm. Adopt other stuff. He will start to clean you up.
Yeah.
To deliver you from strongholds of the past.
Amen.
But it's all to bring us into deeper relationship with Him. Get stuff off of us that opens the door for the enemy to take us the wrong direction. And you're not earning your way to heaven.
Amen.
Jesus already earned your way to heaven.
Thank
you. You're just stepping into what He made available.
Yes.
And now we do it by faith. Mm-hmm. We pray by faith. We obey God by faith. And listen, there are some people that God's telling you there's things you need to quit. There's things you need to adjust. They won't line up. They could lose out. Do you follow me? There are people involved in relationships that aren't holding. And they won't stop it. God, you need to step out of that. He's got a long rope. He gives people opportunity to repent.
Yes. Yes.
But there could come a time that God says, okay, enough's enough. Mm-hmm. We're not playing this game anymore. Amen.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of people out in the world claiming to be Christians, sleeping around with everybody they can. You follow me? Involved in whatever type of adulterous or homosexual or whatever relationship out there. And God says, no, that's not going to work. Just give me a chance, I'll help you with it. Amen. The story that comes to mind is with Max Gober. I've told this testimony many times. 1993, I went to my first ever Kenneth Copus Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. First time I'd gone, both a group of guys, we took my band down. And on the first night, I believe it was, first or second night, five straight nights, all day, all afternoon, all night preaching. Ken McCulkin calls the guy up in the audience. He says, Matt Gober's here. Matt, come up and tell him your testimony. And he turned really about 45 minutes of the service, I'm guessing, over to Max Gober. He was a pastor from western Alabama, and he was a hardcore biker. And I won't go through the whole salvation thing, but a lady came to his door to tell him about Jesus. He punched her in the face. Well, he handed her a gospel tract. He punched her in the face. And he shut the door, went inside, and he tried to throw that tract away, and he says, my hands were covered with so much sticky gunk. You know, and had a shower forever, probably, just hardcore biker, drug guy, everything else. He couldn't throw it off. Couldn't get it. It wouldn't come off of his finger. Finally read it and got saved. Went to the church, told the pastor what happened, and the pastor had enough sense not to condemn him. And he was living with his girlfriend. And he starts leading people to Jesus off the streets, out of the biker community. And he goes knocking on the pastor's door at 2 in the morning. Say, I got one for you, Pastor. So the pastor could lead them to Jesus. He just bring them to the pastor at 2 a.m. Found after a few of those, the pastor says, listen, I need to teach you how to lead somebody to the sinner's prayer. And he taught him. So he's seeing the harvest coming. He's following, but still he's still a hardcore biker. And he went to a church service, and the pastor's preaching about fornication, about escaping fornication, not being involved in fornication. And Max going, yeah, and has no idea what he's talking about. So after the message, he goes up and talks to the pastor. Have you heard this story before? So, Pastor, what's fornication? The pastor says, well, Max, that's when somebody's having sexual relationship with somebody they're not married to. He goes, oh, that's fornication. And he walked out and freaked out. He goes home. His wife wouldn't go, not his girlfriend wouldn't go to church with him. Grabs her, throws her out the door, throws her stuff out the door, says, we've been fornicating, God hates it, get out of here. Kicked her out. God gave him some rope and he's ministering. God's showing up. But there comes a time when you get the revelation, you have to act on the revelation. And drop your resolution. And so, I've been in the churches that were rules-based. Amen. Number three, are you still with me?
Yeah.
I alluded to this one. Number three, let me switch markers. I guess I could turn it some more time. I think I have 20 of these. Artificial holiness. And again, that's the church that has these rules of dress, makeup. Can he have drums or not with the band? Can he even have instruments? Can women even get up and speak in the church? Of course, that crosses a whole bunch of different rules-based churches. Can women preach? Can they even speak in church? Amen. Man, if women can't speak in church, we're in trouble here.
Yeah, that's true. Strong women.
Yeah, we'll put it that way. They're focused on outward appearances versus inward modification. Okay, and I went a couple years to a holiness church. The reason we went, because they were actually seeing some of the power of God show up. Not at any high level, but some. At least they talked about it. But all their dresses swept the floor. I got Patty one or two of those dresses. We went and got them. They didn't last. You weren't going to put Patty in a holiness outfit. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about she's not abiding by a bunch of church rules. So to know God. And of course, the women had to have their hair in the bondage. Couldn't blink. And it was all based on, just all, much of it was based on outward appearance. Problem is, most churches that are focused on outward appearance are critical and judgmental toward everybody not aligned with their standards. Years ago, I was involved in a ministry and was dealing with trying to eliminate pornography, sex trade from the Lexington area. Spent 4 years with it. And we put some major stuff on. I mean, we had a, you know, James Dobson is, right?
Yeah.
We put on a big gathering where his right-hand man, we invited James Dobson, he couldn't make it, but his right-hand man came and spoke. I took him to Shakertown. And we had different senators, other pastors speak at it, talking about the dangers of pornography. It's very addictive, very destructive. And we were going to have this big video showing. I was at Southland Christian Church somewhere. We had a big church. We agreed to show it. And I'm out on the streets of Lexington handing out flyers inviting people. Oh, no, it was going to be broadcast on TV. We'd got the TV time to broadcast A Winnable War by James Dobson. It was a big event for us. And how am I handing out flyers and inviting people to tune into the show to watch A Winnable War, the dangers of pornography has been used to destroy America. And it still is. All this sex trafficking, all this human trafficking going on, the abductions, even the snuff stuff, all ties back to pornography.
Sure.
And so I'm out handing these flyers, and I ran across somebody in bondage. I knew because she had the long dress on, out on the streets, and the hair pulled back tight. Nothing wrong with that, but if you can't let it down, unless you're in some big holy move of God, something's wrong. It's amazing in those churches, women have to look ugly to keep from tempting the men.
Yes.
The men can look as good as they want to.
Yeah.
And I handed this flyer to this woman. I said, we're having this TV program come on, and she says, oh, well, refuse the flyer. Our church doesn't have televisions. Well, aren't you special? And she said it in a very snobby, demeaning fashion, like, you can't even be a Christian if you have a television. Artificial holiness. Jesus told the Pharisees, you're caught up in this. He says, you're trying to decorate the outside of the cup, and on the inside are dead men's bones. And it's a trap. It's a counterfeit. It's to pull people in and think they're in an elite group because they've conformed the flesh to certain man-made standards. And it's a dangerous place to be. Galatians chapter 6. Gossip runs amok in much of the artificial holiness churches because we're talking about all the people that don't line up with their standards. And I'm sure when women come in especially, every woman in the church for the most part looks at them with a filtering eye of how are they matching up to our standards. God hates gossip more than your makeup or your long hair. Galatians 6, are you there?
Yeah.
I'm getting close. Verse number 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you. In other words, they try to limit you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. In other words, They want to make sure you get circumcised so their friends around them that are Jewish don't condemn you for hanging around them. And they can go to God and say, look, I got them to be circumcised.
Yeah.
I got them to follow our rules. And they're more concerned about getting somebody to align with their standards, their rules, than they are somebody to know Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say it all the time. If somebody comes in here and they don't align with what you think is proper, don't judge them, love them.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit's the one doing the adjusting. If something gets out of bounds, let leadership address it. Amen?
Amen.
We're not here to make everybody conform what we think is God's. I've got to say, standard of holiness. Number four. Entertainment focused. See, if a counterfeit church isn't focused on getting somebody to have their flesh look just right, then they want to entertain the soul. It's an amazing thing about men. We love soul downtime. We love unwind time. We love no cares time. We love no responsibilities time. We love just letting our soul veg. That's why we can watch 27 Andy Griffith shows in a row that we've seen 15 times already. You know what's coming next, right? Kerosene cucumbers, going to watch it again. But our soul likes that no pressure moments. And the entertainment church is focused on keeping people's souls alleviated from any stress, pressure. We said this starting out. If you're following God, if you're pursuing God, there's going to be stress on your soul. Because the kingdom of God requires radical change in our lives as far as what we speak, how we think, what we pursue. Amen? See, when you got the revelation, our words carry power. We've been given the authority to speak faithful words. Amen. We shouldn't speak any idle words. In other words, non-producing. When you get that revelation, you've got to control what comes out of your mouth. It becomes work. Until you get used to it, then it becomes habit. When you get the revelation, you're to take every thought captive. It means you've got to monitor everything that goes through your head. You've got to monitor your thoughts. It takes effort and work until it becomes habit. Your soul's retrained, just do it automatically. And the soul doesn't like that training. It doesn't like that stretching. It likes easy. Amen? Doesn't like to be stretched for the most part. Neither in your flesh especially doesn't. But God's Word is of infinite wisdom and capacity. We're being conformed to the Word. It's going to stretch how we think, how we react. Sometimes it's work just to forgive somebody 47 times. As long as you don't get to 49, you're okay. 70 times 7. It takes effort to get your soul to move deep into the kingdom of heaven. It takes training. When you went to school, it took some effort to learn those times tables. How many beside me, did we learn times in third grade, second grade?
Third
grade, sounds right. It's been a few years for me. Flashcards.
Yeah.
I would have skipped those days. Fractions, I'd have skipped those days. Phonics, I'd have skipped that year. Anybody else didn't like phonics? I wasn't hooked on it.
Yeah.
You get a little older parsing sentences, learning all these tenses, writing. I just skipped those. They stretched me in a fashion I didn't enjoy it. But I'm glad I went through it, because without learning those basic things, I need multiplication today. I need to know some phonics today, right? Not really in Kentucky, you don't have to. Yeah, you're conjugating verse. I'm a fixer, you're a fixer, we're all a fixer. They're saying we need to learn, that we don't enjoy the process, but it's necessary to go to the next level of that functional maturity. They're saying in the kingdom, we've got to learn and apply and develop and practice to go to the next level of kingdom living. The entertainment church doesn't like that. So it's focused on a lot of entertaining music. Probably not anointed, but it's entertaining. Big loud booming bass speakers. Maybe flashing lights. Don't have to have this. A lot of skits, drama programs, recognition of people in the audience. The goal is to keep people's souls engaged versus the inner man fed. And the messages will be very surface level, full of jokes, stories with no spiritual, genuine spiritual application. It's really going to be more philosophically oriented than it is anointed and word-based. The people believe because it was a pleasant experience. Oh, I enjoyed this so much. The service was successful. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. See, first time I saw Star Wars, I was doing LSD. The movie lasted 5 weeks. In my mind. I watched every frame. And after it was over, I'm going, that was amazing. But I didn't say that was really anointed. And the entertainment-focused churches got those two confused. They think that people enjoy the service. God moved, because in their minds, God's not appeased by spiritual advancement. You're born again, that's all you need. You know, you're trying to be a nice person, do some good deeds. As long as people are coming, you're really going to be based on how many people come versus whether they were transformed. They'll have numbers up, but this many people came today, you know. Maybe some made a decision for Christ, because they like being entertained. They think God's moved. And there's a good chance he didn't. Could be it was just a fun time. I went to a breakfast a year or so ago at the Ark Encounter. I was invited to a pastor's breakfast. Ken Ham, who's the one that founded it, he's the originator of that Integration Museum, was speaking in a room full of probably a couple thousand pastors, ministers. There was a bunch. And he said between the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, they see over 1 million people make decisions for Christ every year. Now, that's not even Pentecostal. That's not even faith-based. It's just showing truth. But as people are going through those, it's forcing their mind to think outside of normal boundaries. Well, I always thought this, but that explains how it can really be. I didn't know that was possible, but here the Word shows this, and the Word shows, or the science shows, this really isn't possible. You know, evolution and other things. And through their being exposed to new information, making their soul think, they're making decisions for Christ. And I've never gone. I've been as, anybody ever been to those big movie theaters, got like 20 theaters in it or whatever? Giant ones. You might know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The movie complexes.
Yeah.
Got all these movies, you can see everything in them. And I've never seen anybody come out saying, man, I've really felt God in that thing. Their souls weren't being stretched in anything dealing with God. And entertainment, so this church is not forcing people to go outside the box. And lives are being transformed. Amen? And there's a good chance a vast number of the people in their church are not even saved. They just enjoy experience. And they feel like because they went to church, they've appeased God.
Yep.
See, so many people that all about once when you get saved, just go to church now and then. Or even regularly. Yeah, I went to church Sunday. Or you say, yeah, I went to church this Sunday. But are you saved? Well, I go to church, you know, 2-3 times a month. Are you saved? See, they've assumed if you go to church, you've got God's approval if you're going to heaven. That's not necessarily true. Are you still getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Revelation 3, have you got it?
Yes.
And again, these are verses you're going to be well familiar with. Let's look at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true, witness the beginning of the creation of God. Talking about Jesus. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold or hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because I say I'm rich and increased with goods, have a great light show and a lot of great programs, and need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. And he goes on. They thought they were rich. They thought they were doing God's will. They thought they had everything in line. God says, you're not even in the ballpark. I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. Now there's a whole historical aspect of this where Laodicea didn't have a water supply. Came from another city nearby, and was piped in. About the time it got to it, was lukewarm. But the spiritual application is you're not really serious about your walk with God. You're just playing games. Think because you've jumped through certain hoops, or, you know, stepped across certain thresholds, that God's happy with it. But inside, you're not doing anything to really pursue knowing Him or even serving Him. God says, your spew material. Shall I go one more?
Yes.
Number 5. I want to get to these now because I know it's warm in here. Presentation focused. And what I'm talking about are churches with ministers who are more focused on their ability to sell their message than whether their message is anointed or not. It's focused on the right voice fluctuations.
Yeah.
And you cry at the right time.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Yeah.
Your message is already pretty much written out and memorized.
Yeah.
And you're acting it out like you're acting out a play.
Manipulation.
And it is, thank you, David, a form of manipulation through your presentation skills. Amen.
Amen.
I believe in having a prepared message, or at least being you being prepared, you're anointed, you're full of God, ready to deliver a word led by His Spirit. Do you follow me? When you fall over that everything's already pre-planned and you're just acting it out.
Yep.
And you're trying to manipulate people with the way you use your voice. Mm-hmm. You're stepping into, again, witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
They never...
tickle to something.
Well, they never say God.
It's God. I went to a church. I want to say where or when. Some years back, where the pastor had one of his Timothy speak, he was so proud of. The minister got up and he had a fine message, more philosophical than it was word-based and anointed. And I knew watching him, and it was pretty long. I say he went for probably 2 hours. I knew he spent all week practicing it. I'm watching, he practiced all week. Every move. He memorized every verse. The whole thing was just happening. And he was trying to serve God and be an excellence, which I admire that. But the whole thing was more like, how can I impress people with my speaking skills? Versus carrying anointing on my words that draws them to God. And not judging him, I'm just telling you, I knew he practiced it. And more on the practice than he had on probably the personal preparation. And so, there's a danger there. I'm going to say something. Hopefully nobody gets upset at me. Hopefully God can get upset at me. One of the great masters of presentation-focused ministry was Jimmy Swagger. He could cry at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
He'd be in the middle of this mess. He'd go, oh God. Oh yes, the people drinking. Oh. And he acts so broken over the people. Not that it was, I shouldn't say he was acting. I should give him the benefit of that. It was sincere. But it was sure, efficiently packaged and presented. And in his day, the most successful evangelist on the planet. Getting people to make decisions. He was highly anointed. In fact, Kenneth Copeland gives Jimmy Swagger credit for him being on TV. Jimmy was in his heyday, and Kenneth Copeland was getting started. He called Kenneth Copeland and says, God says you're supposed to be on TV, something like that. And got him started in TV. So I'm thankful eternally for Jimmy Swagger. And many people I know got radically touched in his ministry. Radically. No doubt there was an anointing on his life for what he did. But yet there was a focus on presentation. It was evident. What it did. Are you following me on this?
Yeah.
Again, not condemning. Who am I to talk against Jimmy Swagger? You follow me? But I find it interesting the collapse in his life, falling prey to some things that he preached against in a legalistic fashion. He was a legalistic preacher. I mean, alcohol, cigarettes, all these things he blasted. He fall prey to some things he preached against because perhaps it was rehearsed and his life wasn't really itself aligned with delivering that message. I don't know how to put this properly. And witchcraft, manipulation, opens doors. God's doing a purging right now in his churches now. Churches across the world, churches across America, are finding major corruption or sin in their leadership.
Yes.
Behind their pulpits.
Yes.
Men that we've respected are having stuff in their churches that are overwhelming. And God's cleaning things up.
Yes.
Now I've got, let me see how many I have here. I've got 20 of these. 20 types of churches. And when I speak them, you can identify with each one. Do you recognize these? Have you seen these before? Seen them on TV? Seen them?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
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 Oh, yeah.
And God's trying to elevate in these end times. See, it says anything that can be shaken will be shaken in the end times. And it's going to begin at the house of God. God's doing a purging now of pretense, counterfeits within his church. And I'm presenting just so you know. The purpose is so you realize it doesn't matter where I go to church. And when I talk about what we shouldn't be doing, you'll see it's not here. You recognize it's not here. Thank you, Jesus. I took a course years ago in college Bible course on homiletics. Homiletics is the ability to prepare a sermon. If you take normal seminary homiletics, it's focused on presentation skill. You're right, outline 3 points in a poem, whatever, we use that humorously, but that's part of homiletics. Should have no more than 3 points, shouldn't be more than 15 minutes long or whatever, you know. And it's about how to put this sermon together. When I took the course, I thought, this isn't God.
That's right.
I believe in being prepared. I believe in an outline. Does anybody here believe that I teach in a fashion you can go from A to D and know what B and C are in between? In other words, I teach in an orderly fashion. I try to take you from where we are to where I want to take you in an orderly fashion.
We're getting a free training.
Homiletics covers that. But people that get focused on it are more focused on the presentation, the order, everything, rather than is it what the people need to hear at the moment to be transformed. I'm still rambling. When we started this church in 2001, soon after we moved into a building on the corner of Clayton and Military, that's where Peggy started coming, Charles was coming there, Sean came some, I'm sure.
Yeah, Billy Jean.
Billy Jean. Casey. No, Casey wouldn't be there. Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, Casey was from the very beginning.
Yeah. You came in 05. Okay, yeah. We bought the building by then. There was an old fella, he was in his 90s, that had the apartment next door where Casey lives now. Mr. Delatre. He was a grandfather of the owner of the building I bought the building from. And we'd come in the building, and we had some kind of dedication service, and I invited Apostle Callahan to come and speak, be the main speaker. And Apostle Callahan came in, and I invited Mr. Delatre, who was a lifetime minister. He'd been a minister all his life, senior pastor, all kinds of pastor positions, some big churches in Lexington. And I invited him, he came over, and Pastor Callahan lit it up. Revival here, revival there, God moving, power of God, the anointing's flowing. And when it was done, Mr. Lothar couldn't wait to get out of it. And I stopped him and he says, well, that was interesting, but it was probably the worst homiletical message I've ever heard in my life. Didn't hear a word he said other than the homiletic structure of the message. That's putting the wrong thing in focus. And I'm sure if people heard me teach, they would say, there's no homiletics to it. Yes! Thank you. But were people able to follow me, and did the word change their lives?
Amen.
And that's what I'm trying to do even with this, is let you know, be on the guard for these things in any church.
Yes.
Your family and friends will be called into these. People are going to walk around with counterfeit church experiences. You got to know what's going on. And I believe for most of these, demonic forces are in charge of these churches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the pastor may have some anointing on him, but the demons call him to show, especially in major denominations. Demonic forces are calling to show. And God's raising up an end time victorious church.
Yes.
Did you get anything out of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Father, I thank you for your word. Cause us to get a hold of this and be on guard. Not fall prey to it ourselves, just going through motions or wanting to be entertained. I thank you, Lord God, in this church there are none sick, none in pain, and none have any car accidents.
Amen.
They're falling. They're in trouble with knee surgeries.
Amen.
There's no pain. There's no lack. There's no fear. There's no oppression. Oh, there's no strife. I thank you for a divine encounter with you all week, and you added the church daily such as you should be saved in Jesus' name. Amen.